Chapter 11. Vehemence Grip. Beck could taste blood in her mouth, where she'd bitten her own lip when Torrent had saved her life. She had no doubt that was what he had done, either. While she'd understood the Corellian and the Wookiee were playing at something, the attack from above had been entirely unexpected. She just had never accounted for the possibility that the rebels might have close air support. And it was a mistake that had cost her. The same way the Rodian's willingness to die had cost her. The same way she had never imagined it was an act of which any rebel was capable. Another miscalculation on her part. One she would never make again. Half her stormtroopers were dead or wounded, hit by blasts from the ship overhead. She could easily have been among them. Her normal eyes stung, tears running down her cheek from the sickening air that now howled through the docking bay. But the tears evaporated almost as quickly as they appeared, leaving salt stuck to her cheek. The heat was ghastly and turned her mouth dry. She winked, trying to clear her good eye, speaking to the comlink in her hand.
Vehement! Respond!
Captain Hove?
Two ships just took off, the YT-1300 and another. I want those ships, Captain! I want those ships! I want the crews! I want them alive!
They just appeared on our scopes.
They do not make hyperspace. Is that clear?
We're not an interdictor, Commander. We don't have the ability to...
No excuses!
Beck was shouting, she realized. Rising over the wind came the roar of the transport as it slid into place overhead and began to come in for a landing.
I'm on my way up. Do not allow those ships to escape.
As you order, Commander.
The transport was down, its main ramp dropping.
With me, Beck said.
Torrent rose from where he'd been kneeling by one of the dead stormtroopers. His expression was grim, and she wondered if the trooper had been a friend. Wondered how Torrent could tell the troopers apart when they were all in identical armor. He got to his feet.
Let's move,
he told the remaining stormtroopers. Quickly, and as a unit, they filed into the back of the transport. Beck hit the panel to raise the ramp, and the ship was lifting off before the pressure seals had locked. The foul atmosphere of Sirkon abruptly vanished. Beck coughed, clearing her lungs, and felt as if something was trying to scrape open her throat. The stormtroopers in their helmets had been spared the worst of the noxious air. Torrent hacked a couple of times. Beck wiped the tears still streaming down her unmarred cheek and made her way to the cockpit.
I want to be on the Vehement in 3 minutes,
she told the pilot. The pilot nodded and gave the ship full throttle. The engines rose to a fever pitch. The atmosphere burned past, and ahead of her, Beck could see the Star Destroyer, enormous and imposing, and appearing much closer than it was. The two smaller ships, the Millennium Falcon and the other unidentified vessel, appeared minuscule in comparison, even as the transport banked to give them wide berth.
Misfortune,
Torrent said from over her shoulder. She glanced back and saw that he was looking past her at the same view.
It's the ship I tracked the bounty hunters to before following them into Motok.
Beck nodded slightly, making a mental note to further investigate Miss Fortune. There was no way to engage either ship, not in the transport. They had to avoid them, had to get back to the Vehement, where she would be able to assert some control over the situation once more. Knowing all this didn't help her, didn't relieve the feeling of powerlessness consuming her. The growing frustration.
They'll need a few minutes before they can jump to hyperspace, Beck said. We can still catch them.
Yes, ma'am,
Torrent said. For the first time, she thought he sounded less than enthusiastic. The second flight of TIEs screamed past them as the transport made its final approach. Beck waited impatiently as the ship completed its landing in the main ventral bay of the Vehement, and as soon as she felt the ship locking down, she was hitting the release and exiting before the ramp had completely lowered. She ran, not caring who saw, to the main lift. shoved aside the two lieutenants waiting for the car to arrive, stepped in, and headed for the bridge. She emerged into a calm that immediately annoyed her. Captain Hove stood with his back to her at the far end of the Star Destroyer's bridge, staring out the viewport, his hands clasped behind him. She ran down the central walkway, the command and control pits on either side, slowed to a jog, then a walk. Hove heard her coming and turned to greet her.
Commander Beck, two flights launched and engaged. We...
Move us in closer! I want tractor beams on those two ships, the Falcon and the other one.
Hove closed his mouth tightly and arched an eyebrow.
There are 8 TIE fighters.
Yes, I heard you, Captain. I'm wondering if you heard me.
He looked distinctly uncomfortable and glanced to his right, looking past Beck to the array of crew and officers, all doing their best to appear not to be listening. Beck didn't care if they were overheard, but Hove obviously did, and he lowered his voice, stepping closer.
Commander, the TIEs are engaged with the enemy. Activating the tractor beam risks capturing our ships, as well as the quarry.
I am aware.
The modulation required to capture the quarry will tear a TIE apart if it also finds itself caught in the tractor beam.
I am aware of that as well.
Beck fixed him with a stare.
Is this a problem, Captain?
Hove spoke slowly.
Those are our pilots, Commander.
You insist on stating the obvious, Captain. You have my orders. Execute them at once, or I shall have you arrested for dereliction of duty and aiding and abetting the enemy.
Hove's jaw tightened. His back straightened. He inclined his head, clicked his heels, then turned to face the command deck.
Close to tractor beam range,
he ordered. And Beck was somewhat mollified to find no hesitation or uncertainty in his voice as he spoke.
Target the freighter and the yacht.
The order was echoed around the bridge, a flurry of motion at the helm. The Star Destroyer began its turn to port, and through the bridge windows, Beck could see Miss Fortune and the Millennium Falcon once more. Still small, but gradually coming closer. Flashes of turbolaser fire cut the darkness. Needles of red and green and blue slicing through space as the 10 ships twisted and spun and danced together in combat.
Beam control, confirm,
Hope said. The response was immediate, loud and clear.
At your order, Captain.
Time to target.
1:11.
Hove turned to face the windows again and canted his head slightly toward Beck.
It will be close, but we should catch them before they can make the jump to hyperspace.
Beck kept her eyes on the battle, slowly coming closer. One of the TIEs tried to cut across the Falcon's stern, sweeping into another pass, and a line of green reached out from Miss Fortune and touched the fighter along one solar panel. The TIE broke apart, exploding an instant later. 7-2.
For your sake, Captain, Beck said, I hope you're correct.